Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, one of our favorite Bible stories is the story of David and Goliath. You know the story. Most likely you know the story. David, a small teenager. Goliath, a huge giant. The Bible says Goliath was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet that he fit over his head. He had bronze body armor that he wore like a coat. He had bronze greaves, if you know what those are, the leggings that protected his legs. He had in one hand a huge spear with a tip of iron, and in the other hand he had a shield to protect his body. And so Goliath was armored up and ready for battle. And David, this young man, steps in and says, "I'll go and face him. How dare he blaspheme the name of God and God's people? And so I'll go and I'll stand against him." And so Saul got his armor and called David over, and Saul put his helmet on David's head and put his coat of armor on David's body and handed David his big sword. And I imagine that David looked a little silly, because Saul, the Bible says, was a head taller than all the rest of the folks. Saul was a big guy, and David's just a teenager. So I imagine the helmet has covered his eyes, and the coat is hanging down to his knees, and the sword is just something that he can hardly carry around. And David stood there in that for just a moment or two and finally said, "You know what? This is not for me." And so David took off the armor that would be expected to be worn in battle, and instead David went and gathered what God had been preparing him and teaching him to use all of those years as a shepherd. And so in one hand David had a sling, and in the other he had a few rocks. And the Bible says that Goliath stepped forward ready for battle. And David courageously answered him, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head, and all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." And that's exactly what God did, because when Goliath stepped forward ready for battle, David, with one fell swoop, sent a stone zinging through the air, landed in the forehead, and knocked Goliath down and killed him. And David went over and did exactly what he said. He cut off his head. And the Bible sums it up like this: "So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and he killed him." I wonder if Paul had that story in his mind when God inspired him to write to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And I want you to think a little bit this morning about just that idea of weapons that the world uses and weapons that we use. One of the things that COVID has done, especially for churches, especially for ministry, is to remove, cancel a lot of the things that we have always done, a lot of the ways that we have always done things. Maybe even some ways of the world that we've kind of adapted and adopted and used to try to build the church and to grow the church. Maybe those are weapons of the world. But if we look at the weapons that God has put in our hands, that He has trained us to use, we could go over to Ephesians chapter 6. And we could read there about weapons, about armor that God has given us. We could read about truth and righteousness and faith and salvation and the gospel of Jesus. We could read about those defensive weapons that are the armor that we wear. We could also read, and I think you've heard me say before, that really in Ephesians 6, there are only two offensive weapons that God has given us as we go forward into the world. He's given us, one, the Word of God, which He says is the sword of the Spirit. And then the second weapon that is listed there that Paul talks the most about is prayer. And so as we go into the world, as we go as a church, as we try to accomplish the great commission that God has given us to accomplish, we do not go into that with the weapons, or if we can change the analogy a little bit, with the tools that the world provides for us. Instead, we go into that with the tools that God has given us. Tools with divine power. Tools that can break through strongholds. That can bring light into dark places. That can bring salvation where there is only lostness. That can rescue people. And we see that Jesus is used those weapons, those tools. We could look at a lot of places, but we'll just look at how He started out His ministry, how He began to accomplish what God had sent Him to accomplish. He used the Word of God and prayer. And He went into a desert, and He fasted. And we will see that fasting is the context that word and prayer is very often used as tools and weapons of God. Jesus went and He fasted for 40 days, and He faced down darkness and temptation and the enemy, and He did it with nothing in His hand except the Word of God and prayer. The disciples watched Jesus and they learned from Jesus. And when we did our 40 days of prayer a few months ago, we reflected on the fact that one of the only places in Scripture that we find the disciples asking Jesus something specific, "Would you teach us how to do this?" The thing they had watched Him do, the thing they had seen accomplished so much, they said, "Jesus, would you teach us how to pray?" And then when Jesus taught them, He said, "Not if you fast and pray, but when you fast and pray." And the apostles practiced that, and they taught that to the churches, and the church practiced that. And that's how the church faced the world. It's how the church went into the world to accomplish the mission of Jesus. And that's why I am anticipating, looking forward to, I'm ready for this that we're calling Awaken Wichita Falls. Because in Awaken Wichita Falls, we're going to put those tools to use. And we're going to approach the mission that Jesus has given us with the weapons and the tools in our hands that Jesus himself used. And so Awaken Wichita Falls is a movement of prayer and fasting when the church comes together in unity to strategically pray and bless our city one person at a time. That's what Awaken Wichita Falls is. And we want to be about the business of our Father. We want to be on the mission of Jesus. We want to be a church that accomplishes the great commission that Jesus has given us to go and to make disciples. And COVID has disrupted some of the plans that we had for that. But I'm thankful that God is redirecting us and reminding us, wait a minute, this is how I want you to accomplish this. This is how I want you to go forward. These are the tools, the divinely powerful tools that I want you to use. And so I want to just explain how you can participate in Awaken Wichita Falls this morning. And let you know specifically what that is. We've mentioned it. We've just mentioned it in passing. But I want you to understand this morning just what it is we're about to launch into. And Awaken is a 30-day season of prayer and fasting for our city. A specific focus to pray and fast for our city. That 30 days is going to begin on March the 5th. That's a Friday. We chose that day because if we go forward 30 days, we end the day before Easter. And so from March the 5th until April the 3rd is our time of prayer and of fasting. There'll be a sermon series that will go along with this. That's going to begin in just a few weeks on March the 28th. And we have packets that are available for you that you can pick up today and over the next few weeks. Those packets cost, and you're fixing to see in just a minute how much is in those packets. They cost us $20. The elders chose to pay for half of that. And so for you, we want to make those available to you for $10. And we don't ever want money to be an issue. You contribute however much you can. And if you can't contribute anything, we don't want you to miss out on taking one of these packets and getting these resources in your hand. So I just want to walk you through what you would find in that packet. And there's a card in there. It's a fold-out card called a Next Steps card. And it tells you some of what I've already shared with you. It tells you what Awaken is, when Awaken is going to take place. But it also begins to tell you how you can participate. And there's some things that you need to do to prepare yourself for March the 5th. That's why we want to get this out to you early. We want you to do some things to prepare yourself. And the first thing that you're going to need to do is to decide how you are going to participate. Am I going to participate? Am I going to join with the church on behalf of the city and on behalf of some folks in my life that need to know Jesus? Am I going to fast and am I going to pray? And one of the resources in that packet will help you understand some different options you have about fasting. Fasting is something that we have begun to practice in our church over the last year. We're growing in it. I'm growing in it. There's a lot of things I didn't understand about it before. Even after doing it, there's still some things I don't understand, but I do it in faith and I continue to practice that discipline and grow in it. We're all doing that. But there's a book in there called Revival Starts Here. And Awaken is something that a church in Nashville started as they had a heart for their city. And they did this. And then they invited the next year, they invited more and more churches. And I think the last time they did it, there were 400 churches full of Christians who were fasting and praying for their city. And I heard about this when I was on a teaching online and that this preacher, Dave Clayton, was on and told about their experience with Awaken. And he wrote this little booklet that you'll find in that packet. And I would encourage you to peruse the whole thing, but specifically there's some pages that it tells you to go to help you choose, how am I going to fast over these next 30 days? And I just want to quickly tell you what those are, and then you can read about them. But one way that you could choose to fast over those 30 days is something that somebody, I don't know who gave it this name, but they call it a soul fast. Typically in Scripture, when someone fasts, they fast from food. And that's the biblical example that we have, to abstain from food or drink for a spiritual purpose. It's something that God's people have practiced for thousands and thousands of years. The idea behind it is that when we deny ourselves, which is something that Jesus told us we have to learn how to do if we're going to be in the kingdom, if we're going to have life in Him, we've got to learn to deny ourselves. And fasting is a way that we learn to deny ourselves and give up something for God so that we can be more full of Him, so that we can focus more on Him and on His purposes. And typically that is food. But some people practice what they call a soul fast, where they're going to give up something other than food. And you might give up television, or you might give up video games, or you might give up a hobby that you have, or you might give up social media, or you may have all kinds of things in mind that are not food, but something that you enjoy, that you indulge in, that is a pleasure to you, that you could give up for a season for God. It's called a soul fast. To sacrifice something as a way to connect more deeply with God, and a way to show Him, yeah, I'm serious about this, God. I really want to get close to You, like Brian talked about. Another level of fasting would be called a partial fast. A partial fast is when you only give up a certain kind of food or certain kinds of food for a specific period of time. Very often it's called a Daniel fast, because Daniel did this in chapter 1 of Daniel. There were certain foods that he said, we're not going to partake of those. We're going to give those up and watch what God will do. And so that's often called a Daniel fast, where Daniel gave up luxury foods, is the way one person described it. Paula and I, because we want to grow in this, we just practiced a Daniel fast to begin the year 2021 as a way for us to dedicate our year to God and ask Him to be strong in that. And I prayed for our church and for us during that 21 days. And we did this partial fast where we gave up certain kinds of food. We gave up meat. And for a farmer who raises beef, that was really hard to do. But we did that Daniel fast, where you would decide to give up certain kinds of foods for 30 days. Another level of fasting is something called a minor fast. And that's where you abstain from basically breakfast and lunch. You're not going to eat during the daylight hours, is one way that you could think of it. And then you'll eat supper. And so every day you would abstain from breakfast or lunch, but then you would break your fast in the evening, called a minor fast. And then the last one is called a major fast. And that's where you abstain from food and drink for 24 consecutive hours, for however long you decide to do that. And if you've not ever done that before, I don't encourage you to start that way. It can be done. Jesus did it for 40 days. Others in Scripture did it for lengthy periods of time. But it's not the way to begin. But it may be a way that you want to build into your 30 days. You might decide, I'm going to do this kind of fast, but you know, a couple of times in there, I'm going to do a major fast and go a whole 24 hours without food. However you do that, those are the kinds of fasts that you could choose from as a way to participate during Awaken Wichita Falls. I encourage you to read about those, to pray about your decision, and to make a commitment to yourself and to God in how you want to participate. And remember always, the point of fasting is not in the saying no to something. The point of fasting is that you're saying yes to God. So that's one thing that you'll learn and you'll prepare for if you are going to participate in Awaken Wichita Falls. There's a second thing in that packet, a second booklet that will help you prepare. And that is a journal. It's called Love Your Neighbor Journal. And this is a great resource in the book, because what you are going to be asked to do during Awaken is to choose 8 specific people that you want to pray for in our city. 8 specific people in our community, on your street, in your neighborhood, in your school, in some relationship to you, 8 people who are not following Jesus, who are not reaping all the benefits and blessings of being a Christian. Good people, like Brian referenced, but they're not believers. And we want them to know Jesus. And so that's the specific thing that you're going to be called to do, is to find 8 people that you can pray for. And this resource, Love Your Neighbor Journal, is the way to do that. Because many of you, I've already had someone say this to me, and I know many of you would say it, and that is, I don't think I know 8 people who don't know the Lord. I've been in church so long, and all my friends are church people, and I'm not sure that I even know 8 people. Well, this journal will help you pick those 8 people, because it's going to lead you through spheres that you have in your life, places that you go, people that you interact with. And it has a series of questions that will help you narrow that down and identify that. It also tells you about a website. The website is called blesseveryhome.com. This was a website started years ago by a group of people who their desire was that everyone in the United States would be prayed for. And so they've become a collecting place, and they gather public information. And so if you went onto their site and set up a free account, you could put where you live, even down to your specific address. And using public information, not stealing private information, using public information, you could find out the names of the people who live on your street or who live in your neighborhood. And so that's another way that this resource will help you decide who it is that you want to pray about and who you want to pray for. And then the third step, the third thing in your packet, is a prayer card. And that's where you're going to write those 8 names and identify those people and pray for them as you fast and pray and ask God to be at work in their life in such a way that they would come to follow Jesus. And then, once you've got those 8 folks identified and you've chosen which fast you're going to do, on March the 5th, when that begins, we're going to begin to pray together. And there's another resource in the packet, and it is called Jesus Next Door. I love this resource because very often when I have decided I'm going to pray for someone and I pray for them on a regular basis, I begin to pray the same kinds of things over and over, and I kind of get stuck in a rut. And then sometimes I just end up just saying, well, Lord, would you bless them? And that's a good thing to pray, but I want to be more specific than that. And so this 30-day prayer guide is something we will all do together. We'll be praying in unity every day about the same things for the different people that we are praying about. And it will help us be very specific in praying for them, as our desire for them is that they would come to follow Jesus. So those are the resources that you will get in your packet. Those are, again, available today out in the atrium. They'll be available over the next few weeks. Starting on the 28th, Rodney Smith and I, the preacher from Welch Street, will be here to kick that sermon series off, and then he and I are going to share the preaching on that series. Welch Street is going to participate in that as well. I hope that as we do this year, that it'll grow, and next year we'll be able to gather other churches and other Christians in our city as we pray and as we ask God to awaken us. As we ask God to awaken us as a church, us as individual Christians, to awaken us to the lost people who are around us. To awaken us to the needs that exist here in our city that we can meet in the name of Jesus. To awaken us to the tools that He has put at our disposal that have divine power and can break down strongholds and rescue captives and bring them to freedom in Jesus. To awaken us to the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us and at work in other people's lives, convicting them and drawing them to Jesus and revealing truth to them through His Word. And not only that God would awaken us, he starts with his church, but that he would awaken our neighbors and our friends and our family members, that he would awaken them to their spiritual needs, that he would awaken in them a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for goodness, for Jesus, that he would awaken in them a desire to begin to follow Jesus and learn about Jesus and obey Jesus, and that he would awaken in them a desire then to bring other people along. That's what we're going to be praying for. That's what we're going to be pursuing, is for God to awaken us and awaken our city. Would you pray with me now about that? Father, we do. We come to you, and we know that it is your desire that not a single person would ever be lost, that no one would go through life, or especially in their life, without a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know that you are being patient and you are holding back the last day in the hope that one more soul that is lost would be found and one more person would repent and follow your Son, who you sent so that the whole world could be saved. So, Father, we join with you in that desire and in that mission and in that purpose. And we want to use the tools that you have given us in your Word and through your Spirit. We want to put those tools to work. And so we, as a church, are moving toward making a commitment to fast and pray for 30 days for specific people that we know and that we love, or maybe that we've just met, have an acquaintance with, but that we have a heart's desire that they would know Jesus and follow Jesus. And that all of the benefits, all of the blessings that come from being in the kingdom of God that we have experienced for so long would be theirs as well, Lord. We don't want to be selfish with Jesus, but we want to share him. And so I pray that you would awaken in us over these next weeks a desire, a burning, a yearning, an eagerness, a zeal, a fire to be about your business, to do what you've asked us to do. Awaken in us a courage and a boldness. Awaken in us a commitment to prayer and to fasting for the lost. Awaken in us a willingness to serve and to meet needs and to speak the name of Jesus. Awaken in us a renewed dedication to be obedient to Jesus, to do daily in all areas of our life the things he has commanded us to do, especially to love each other and to love our neighbors. And while you're awakening that spirit in us, God, I pray that you would awaken in our community a season and a time where people are open to spiritual things, where they are open to the Bible, where they are open to Jesus. It's very possible you've been doing that for about the last year. Pray that in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our families, in our workplaces, in our university, that you would just awaken, God. Work the ground. Prepare things in such a way. Prepare hearts and minds in such a way that as we pray to you, your Spirit would be at work in the lives of those folks. And I pray, Lord, that you would save many, that you would rescue many, that you would transfer many from darkness to light, from the kingdom of this world to your eternal, glorious kingdom. And I pray that you would use us in that, Lord. This is part of what Awaken is we are offering ourselves up to you. We are offering ourselves as living sacrifices to be used by you, according to your will and your pleasure, because you are our master and we are your servants. You are our Lord, and we are your disciples. And so I pray this through the powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.